You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? I'm Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on The Movie Show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way, because you are listening to The Movie Show.
Yo!
What's up?
What is up, people?
This is The Movie Show.
This is a freaking awesome show. Is that a bit over the top?
Ryan is clearly very excited for
Get excited
this
around you.
Movie review.
Yes.
But this is The Movie Show on Active FM.
I'm sorry. You know what? If I was listening to The Movie Show, I would be very excited. I'd be like, The Movie Show. Oh, there's a new one released. And then I'd be like, everybody, get out. And clear the area. And then I'd be like, everyone, shut up. Shh, put that off. We're going to listen now. And then I'd be like, yeah, you know, yes, another episode. Wouldn't
right.
you?
Yes, definitely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Right. Yes.
So that was my expression of my excitement right there.
And the excited person that you are hearing on my my left, yes. His name is Ryan.
Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person sitting in front of me, her name is?
Sesh.
And you're listening to?
The Movie Show.
Of course, on your favorite
radio station.
Yes.
RSPS. Your favorite online podcasting service and
Active
radio
FM.
Station. Yes.
Yes.
And today we're going to be reviewing a film called The Book Thief. This film actually came out in 2013, so it is quite an old film. But you know what I've noticed? This year we've been doing a lot of older films, but I think it's because not much has happened in 2020.
Yeah.
So a lot of the movies that were supposed to be released this year have all been moved out. Some of them have still come out. Some of them will only come out at the end of the year. A lot of them were moved to 2021. So we've been looking for good movies from the old archives.
Active FM. Radio has never been better. To the FM. Radio has never been better.
There are lots of movies out there. And can I just say, this is one of those movies. You're like, so Sashi picked this one out, and it was like...
I didn't pick this one out. We got requested.
We got suggested. You see, guys, okay. All right. We are now entering open brackets, because I'm in a conversation, open brackets. If you guys suggest movies to us, we're actually going to check it out.
We shall.
Because I think this is the second movie that we've checked out. And I think this is the same person that has requested a movie. Yes. And we've watched the movie. And, okay, close brackets. This is one of those movies you get the name and you're like, the what? No. I've never heard of this movie anywhere. You see the cover, you're like, okay. And then you start watching it. And I won't lie, okay? It's not like it's... maybe I'm getting old, I don't know, but like you start watching the film and it's unraveling in front of you and like, okay, this movie is a good movie. If you're an action junkie, I don't know yet. Was there any stuff at the end?
It's not an action film. It's a war drama. It's a war drama. It sets in World War II,
exactly.
Germany, actually, World War II. So it's not really an action film. It's a drama. It's a proper drama. If you want to watch a drama, this is the movie for you.
This is the movie, and I enjoyed it. That's the scary thing.
But however, Ryan, can we just state something?
Yes, I was going to say.
Okay.
Can I clear it up? All right, yes. So I've only watched half of the film. The film is 2 hours and 10 minutes. That's not my reason why. life circumstances and situations get ahead of us. But I'm glad because this puts us in a very tricky situation. So Sasha's obviously watched the whole movie.
I've watched the whole film.
Finished
it.
I watched half of it and I'm like glued in. I'm like stuck in this
No, I also watched it in parts. I didn't watch it in one go. I think I watched it in 3 sittings. So I started it.
Wow.
Wait, this is my reason. I started it late one night. Then I woke up the next morning and watched a little bit more. And then I finished it last night. So I watched it in 3 parts. But I must say, I also had the same thing where you want to get back to it. Like you have to stop now because you know you need to go do stuff, whatever.
Yes.
And then you you're sitting there and you're like, I wonder what happens. I actually found myself thinking about it. So it does glue you in. It's captivating. The script is very, very good. The script is very good from a keeping you interested, moving the story forward, having momentum, all of those things. It is very good. The script is very good. It actually is based on a novel. So The Book Thief was a book.
Yes, that's right.
Which it's a fiction book based in a real time period. So this story didn't actually happen, although there were probably stories very similar to it that happened. But this particular story is fiction, but it's based within Germany World War II, which did obviously happen. So
that's quite, I think, as a writer writing a book in a, you know, in a real time scenario situation, I think that must be quite interesting, because obviously you've got to do research
yeah.
in terms of what was happening around that time, how people acted, what was the situation with families and etc. And within that, now you have to incorporate that within your story.
Yeah.
I think that must be cool.
No, very. The author of the book, I think he was Australian, and he wrote the book in 2005. So, I mean, obviously it's years after, you know, World War II actually happened.
Yep.
But I know that he went to Germany. He went to a couple of museums, obviously in, you know, doing research and finding out more about the time period. And I must be honest, I enjoyed this film from the perspective of when you think of Germany in any of the world wars, you just think the whole country is bad. Because that's, you know, especially for the history that we're taught, you think of Germany and you're like, a bunch of Hitlers. That's what you think.
You know, that's exactly the same thought that I watched.
Exactly.
I'm like, wow, not everyone. Even the soldiers themselves.
Yeah.
Because we obviously, there's one character in here, and the soldier has to go off to war. And I'm thinking, yo, I'm watching this guy.
Yeah.
He's like a dad saying goodbye to his children. But on the battlefield, you're like, Nazi, kill him.
German.
Yeah.
But actually, there were families. And on top of that, there were a lot of Germans that didn't agree with Hitler, that actually hated Hitler and were just suppressed and oppressed by the Nazi regime that they were under. And obviously, they couldn't do anything about it, because they would have been killed or taken to concentration camps. Or you saw how the people actually lived under fear. There was so much fear. They knew that they shouldn't step out of line. And if they did step out of line, they were putting themselves and their whole family at risk. And there was actually this incredible fear that was within. And also on top of that, it showed how many of the Germans were willing to help Jews and were willing to, you know, keep them safe or keep a secret. They didn't hate, not all of them hated Jews, even though it was so heavily taught. It was really pushed upon them. Do you know, even it was so bad in Germany, their math sums was, if I shoot one German, that literally their math, that was their maths. They would relate it to, if I shoot one Jew or kill two Jews plus this, how many does that make? So they would literally teach the kids maths, but they would use the propaganda of Jews are evil, communists are evil, that these people are evil, whatever. Yeah.
And I'm sure I even heard it in their national anthem, something about paving the way with Jews, and that's what they said. Basically, we will lay down the Jews and all the non-Germans, and that will be the paving for the way for victory or whatever, or restoring Germany or whatever. I was just like, sure, even in there. And yes, children singing it so lovely, yeah. Like a choir. I'm like,
Yeah, no, it was really crazy. Ryan, not all of the film is in German. So obviously it was set in Germany. They spoke in German sometimes, specifically when they said yes and no. They said ja and nein, which is yes and no. But there were parts where they were speaking German. I had to stop the film and go get subtitles.
Yep, me too.
Okay, I was going to say, did you understand what they were saying?
Yeah, no.
No. Oh, come on, Ryan. You should pull up your socks there, man.
I'm not that deep. Not that deep in German.
So the budget for the film was $19 million, which isn't actually a big budget, I'd say. Because think about it. They had to go back in time. Do you understand what I'm like? For me, that's always so hard, is going back in time with sets, costumes, vehicles, you know, everything. So it was $19 million, which for me isn't bad. Box office, they made $76.6 million. So they did very, very, very well.
Yeah, look, I don't know if the time that has passed by has to add on to that.
I don't think so. I think because I remember when this film came out, I don't know why I never watched it when it came out, but I knew about this film and I'd heard good reviews and people saying, oh, it's brilliant. But I don't know why I never watched it. You know, just one of those films you never get to.
Well, according to Google, 95% liked this film.
I think I'm the 96th person. Percentage.
I'm about to hit like on
who doesn't know how they feel about the ending.
Oh, they don't know. Okay. All right. Look,
I enjoyed everything except for the ending.
I can't talk about the ending.
Yeah, Ryan can't talk about
it. And I'm not going to add in, you know, the same thing that I've said before. Yeah, but it's real life. What? I don't know. But, and I'd like to come, you know, obviously we're going to watch another film. We're going to move on. So I guess everyone will never know my opinion about the ending.
Oh, wow. So actors in the film. Very, very good actors. Number one, Jeffrey Rush, who I personally love. I want to go and search all the movies he's acted in and watch them. If you don't know who Jeffrey Rush is, we recently did a review on The King's Speech, and he was the speech therapist.
Yep.
The much-loved speech therapist. If you still don't know who that is, Captain Barbosa from Pirates of the Caribbean. That's your man. Yes. And obviously, in Pirates of the Caribbean, you don't like Barbosa most of the time. There are times, especially in the last one, you know, you connect with him, you connect with his daughter. But most of the time, in quite a few of them, you don't like him because, you know. But in this film and in The King's Speech, I love Jeffrey Rush. He's like, you know, you're like, I like this person. I think he did very well. So he played Hans Huberman, who was the main character. So the protagonist is a little girl who grows up. She's the protagonist.
Wait, sorry. What do you mean by protagonist?
Protagonist is the main character.
Okay, there you go.
And the good main character. Antagonist is the villain in the film.
Okay. Oh, yes. There you go. Well, you learn new things, eh?
Right. So he played Liesl's kind-hearted foster father. Then the main character was Sophie Nalis. I hope I pronounced her surname correctly. She played Liesl, who is the book thief. And she's actually Canadian. She's not even German.
Is it?
Did you find that sometimes her German accent slipped a bit?
Everyone I found that they're
except for Rudy, because Rudy accent. Is German. The boy that played Rudy is German.
I don't remember his break. I just remember there was a fine line between the German and there's almost this like, can I say Irish? Because it's this sort of roll of the way that they sort of spoke. I was just like, that was broken. No. There was almost this like, you know, if you got like an Irish Scottish accent, you almost have that hard R.
Yes.
Well, then we'd better be going, you know, that type. And yes. Sometimes something would slip in like that. And then I'd be like, I heard that.
Look, Jeffrey Rush is Australian, which means his accents would lean more to
an
English accent.
Yes. Okay. With him, I found it certain parts.
Yeah, he was very good. Sophie's Canadian. So I think German is a little bit of a push, but I think she did do well, considering that she's not German.
Oh, yes.
And then Emily Watson, who plays the mother, she's English. For me, she was brilliant. She played Rosa Huberman, who's the foster mother, but the bad-tempered German.
You know?
She was brilliant. She was like, you know the stereotype German woman?
She
played it so well.
The mad face.
Yes.
Always with the thing. But then, like, at a part of the movie, you start like, oh, well, there you go.
No, you do see her heart. You
she's
do
got
actually.
A heart
yes.
type of thing, which
you
is
start
nice.
Like, at the beginning of the film, you're like,
it was
she's horrible.
I found it so weird because obviously you had Hans, the father, and then her, the mother.
They were complete opposites.
It was bittersweet type of thing. And it wasn't like they were fighting each other.
No.
He was just sort of. He was
compliant.
He was very compliant with the whole thing. And he was so
sweet.
She
was mean.
And she's just like,
she'd hit him over the head and call him useless and lazy and a slob. And you were like, shame.
Yeah, because she's like, well, someone appreciates my soup around here.
And then, do you know that there was a nickname that they started giving to Liesl, the main character? It's the German word for pig.
Is that long neck?
Something like that. I can't remember the exact German word. But literally, her own mother called her pig. I was like, okay.
Well, now there you go.
But she was brilliant. She acted. I was watching an interview with her, and she's like completely the opposite. She's got this British accent. She laughs. She smiles. She's nice.
Oh, serious?
And in the film, you're like, ooh. No, she was very good. And then the boy that played Rudy, his name is Nico, and Ryan is going to pronounce his surname to show off his brilliant German skills.
That's brilliant. My goodness. Rudy Steiner.
Right? No. Yes, that's the character's name.
That's the guy's name. Okay. So then the real name, oh my goodness, Nico. I wonder if Nico is even a, it sounds Afrikaans, German,
yeah,
Dutch.
It does. Yeah.
Nico. Nico. Yo. Oh, I had it early on.
You had it early on?
Lesch.
There we go.
Lesch.
And he is actually German. He's a German actor. So
he looks
German. Was nice. I liked him.
He was very sweet.
He was very sweet, yeah. Yes. So, just to give you a bit of trivia for the film, one of the books that Liesel reads to Max. So Liesel is the main character, and Max is a Jewish man that they take into their home and hide. So this family, the foster parents, Liesel, they are hiding a Jew in their basement.
Which was quite hectic.
Yeah, it was very hectic.
Hiding a Jew in my house.
I was stressing most of the movie. This movie is very nerve-wracking. I'm just like, ew. So what happened was when he got sick in the film, and so Liesel started reading all of these books to him to try and help him get better. And do you know that one of the books she reads to him is The Book Thief itself?
What?
So she reads this sentence. So you know, they did like a montage of all the different... So she didn't read like a full story. It like kept jumping from book to book.
It spoke about the stranger, the ghost or something.
Not that part.
Not that part.
The sentence was, what came to her then was the dustiness of the floor, the feeling that her clothes were more next to her than on her, and the sudden realization that this would be all for nothing. That sentence, which she did read to Max, is from The Book Thief.
Okay.
How cool is that?
Who picked that out? Was that something you picked up on the...
Yeah, that was trivia. That
oh,
was
wow. Okay. Well,
I haven't read The Book Thief. I've only watched the movie. This was also quite interesting. So there were a couple of books that were read in the film. So I don't know if you know, the first book that Liesel learned to read was The Gravedigger's Handbook. Do you remember that?
Yes,
that part
book.
Was very humorous. I enjoyed that part. So the foster father teaches her how to read, but the first book she learns is The Gravedigger's Handbook, because
right.
She picks it up when they're burying her brother at the beginning of the film.
Sounds like a good book.
Right.
The Gravedigger's Handbook.
And then at the end, when they're done reading it, the foster father says to her, and if I happen to die soon, make sure they follow all the steps and they mustn't leave out chapter 6. That was that was very good. But there were a couple of books. So there was The Gravedigger's Handbook, The Lighthouse, The Shoulder Shrug, The Whistler, The Mud Men, The Stand Over Men, The Dream Carrier, A Song in the Dark, Under the Cherry Tree, The Last Human Stranger, and The Rules of Tommy Hoffman. These were all books that Liesel got her hands on in the novel, but they were not real books. So the author actually made up these names because he liked the sound of the titles, and also each one referred to problems that Hitler's oppressive tactics caused. So the books she read aren't actually real books. He created the titles, but also it connected to Hitler's oppression over the Germans at the time.
They do sound very interesting, the titles.
Right, which is pretty cool. Also, so talking about Emily Watson, who played the hectic German foster mother, do you know she decided to stay in character all day?
So she stayed strict and
she stayed in character, which meant in between takes, she was still acting as a grumpy German woman. And on top of that, it caused her to get in a fight at an airport when she reacted like her character would do at check-in, which caused her some problems.
Are you serious?
Yes. So she stayed in character and she got into trouble at an airport for it.
Well, now there's something I want to try.
Right?
I'm putting that one on my bucket list.
But she did very well. I think for me, she was one of my favorite characters within the film just because she did it so well. Like, you don't like her character. Eventually, you start liking her character, but in the beginning, you hate her. But just the fact that she could get that emotion out of you, like, I always enjoy. It's the same as Robert Pattinson in The King when he was the French prince. You hate him. You are disgusted by him. But I loved how he just got that character across. When, you know, when you're able to play with
what's
people's emotions. Right.
You're like, what's going to happen next? Whatever. I'm like, wow, what is on with this woman?
Right. No, she was crazy. And then for Jeffrey Rush, who plays the foster father, do you know what his greatest challenge in production was?
Let me guess. Wearing that hat that he wore.
No. Did you even wear a hat?
Yeah.
At times.
Several times. You wore hats.
It was working with a child.
Working with a child?
Yeah. And you know, he almost didn't accept the part because he was so reluctant. I think he was nervous to work with a child. Because think about it, in most films that I've seen him in, he doesn't act with children. He acts with, it's mainly adults.
I wonder why.
And I think he was slightly nervous to act because, so Liesl, who the actual actor's name is Sophie, when they made the film, production, when they were shooting the film, she was 13 years old. So she was young.
I was just busy checking that out now to see how old she was. Okay, look, yeah, she's 20 now.
She's 20 now, and they filmed it in 2013, she's 13.
She was born in 2000.
Yeah, she's a 2000 baby. There you go. What the weird part is? Do you know that Liesl in the film ranged, so at the beginning of the movie she's age 10, and at the end of the movie she's age 17, but now they filmed the full thing while she was 13. The crazy part is they actually got her aging properly. She actually did look like she matured. And they did it through wardrobe.
Oh, yes.
They also changed
lapse,
her hair. So the older she got, the longer her hair got.
Right.
She also looked like she got taller. I don't know how they did that, but they can do that. I mean, that is something that they have done in film before. For example, the Hobbits in Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit, they were short people. One of the dwarves was an actual dwarf, but most of the time they weren't actually short.
Like perspective filming and stuff like that. Do you think, like, okay, so I see in real life, she naturally has blonde hair. Or if not blonde hair, like a very light brown. Do you think they, within the film, they purposely planned that she would have light blonde hair? Because I loved the way that in the beginning, when it's going through the train, and you see all these people, and while it's going through, you're like, is that the person? Is that the main character?
Yes, you're guessing who the main character
is. And then you just see the blonde hair, and you're like,
Yeah,
and she really stuck out.
Yeah, the filmmakers started casting. When they started casting, they decided to first focus on finding Liesl. So that was their main aim. And they saw thousands of candidates for the role, but in the end, they chose Sophie because of her performance in a Canadian film called Monsieur Lazare. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly.
Sounds right.
Canadians are French. But she acted in that film, and then they were like, this is our girl. So she got the role. But she was very good. She was. And do you know that she won awards for this film? There were actually a couple of awards that the film won. So the Grammy Awards, it won Best Instrumental Composition. John Williams won it. Then Hollywood Film Awards, Spotlight, and Phoenix Film Critics Society won Best Performance by Youth in a Lead or Supporting Role. In a supporting role, Sophie won it. And then for the Satellite Awards and for Young Artist Awards, she won Newcomer and Best Leading Young Actress in a Feature Film. So she won four awards from this film.
Sashi, if I told you that the little boy, what was his name?
Rudy.
If I told you that Rudy and, what's it, Liesl, right?
Yeah.
Were the same age, would you believe me?
When filming?
No, they...
Oh, as in currently
they're
the same age.
Is the real... They were both born in 2000.
I think so.
Pretty weird, eh?
Are they the same age?
I felt he was a bit...
He looked a lot younger.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But then at the same time, girls do mature faster than guys.
What?
They do.
Where did you hear that?
Ryan, it is common knowledge. Girls even stop growing earlier than guys.
I've only heard a lady tell me that.
Oh, my...
I'm just joking. Yes, no, I know that.
But I think that is why, because he did look like a little boy. He really did look like a little boy.
Yeah.
I still went to search pictures of him now. He looks grown up now. He doesn't look like a little
boy.
He
does. Anymore. I was just like,
Yeah. Now, this is crazy. So, we all know about movies that were scheduled for certain dates, but then they were moved out later because something happened in production, right?
Yeah.
This film was originally scheduled to be released on the 17th of January, 2014. But it was moved forward to November 8th, 2013 due to the fact that it was finished ahead of schedule. They finished the movie ahead of schedule.
Well, I wonder if they had any like VFX or anything like
How crazy is that? By a whole 3 months, basically. And the reason they chose to actually release it in the November was so that it could compete in the 2013 to 2014 award season.
Okay, well, that's nice.
Which is pretty clever. Yeah.
I would like to have a few of those.
Right?
Hi, guys, we finished. Okay.
Oh, that's nice.
I think I...
I'm going to take a vacation.
Yeah, let's do a vacation. I'm planning it then, but I'll do it now and then.
Right. After the premiere.
You see?
Everything.
Well, I think I'm going to go and speak to the director and find out how did they do it. We need to do more of those.
Right. One thing, though. So, the film is very good. I did enjoy it. Just the ending. The ending. The whole time in the movie, Ryan, don't you feel the same? The whole time you're like, they're going to die. They're going to die. Yeah, here it comes. Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering who's going to die. I'm like the father. No.
For me, I was like, the father's going to die. The Jew's going to die. She might die. I was literally going. And every time something happened, I was like, don't do that. Ah!
Was this after the is this during the second half of the film? Because I've watched the first half. And so far, the only hectic thing that has happened is Britain has just declared war. And now the boy's father has gone off to war. He left. He just left the family. They've said their goodbyes.
I think that's around halfway. That's halfway through the film.
1 hour, 10
minutes. After that, oh my goodness. Okay, so. The whole time, from the beginning of the film, I had like this foreboding feeling that they're going to die. Because, you know, it is Nazi Germany after all. It wasn't like they didn't play. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Germans would snitch on one another. Like, that was a thing back then.
Oh, my goodness.
So you weren't just looking out for soldiers. You were looking out for your neighbors. You were looking out for that one German person that was very Nazi. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do not want to watch this film anymore.
So the whole time I'm like, oh, no. And then they kept doing things. And I was just like, why are you doing that? Don't do that. You're going to die. Yep, you're it. And then it didn't come. And then, but the problem with this film is death narrates the film.
Yeah.
Death. The character death narrates the film. So in the beginning of the film, there's a narrated piece and it's death. And then he sometimes comes back again. In the film, death doesn't narrate as much as he did in the novel. So in the novel, he narrated a lot more. But in the film, he doesn't narrate as much. But just because death is narrating it.
So this is death that's
you're
narrating.
Just like, they're all going to die. Yeah.
It makes sense because death is like following all of them. He's talking about all of them. This one interested. Before she came to me, this is what happened. You're like, she's coming to you.
I feel like this film was very similar.
He did say in the beginning, he said at the end of the day, and he still said, it's quite funny. He says, it's going to happen either way. So don't panic. It doesn't help to panic.
Right.
It doesn't help anything. Just remain calm while you die, basically. When I heard that, I was like, right, I'll remember that. Thank you very much.
Thanks, death. I'll take that advice.
Because everyone panics. You're like, just lay down. Just relax.
Just calm down. Yeah, so the ending, I must be honest, I was not satisfied with the ending just because,
I'm still good with the film.
The film was good.
Maybe I should keep it there.
The film was good. I just feel like,
I guess we have another Netflix original.
You know what this film almost reminds me of is The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
I was just about to say that.
That film was also, it was a brilliant film. That movie was crazy. The fact that it literally kept me and two other people. I had to finish that movie quickly before we recorded it. So I was sitting in the office in the morning, quickly watching it. I was on the last part and two of my colleagues, they hadn't watched the beginning of the film, but they were stuck watching. And the last part of that movie is four people having a conversation in a carriage. That is literally the end of the movie. And we were all sitting there.
And there was no point
glued,
to that part, eh?
Yes, but we were all glued to it. Like, these two guys who haven't even watched the beginning of the film were sitting with me. Or the three of us were sitting there like glued. People would walk in and walk out. I'm sure some people even joined us. But at the end of the film, everyone died. Or someone died. So it was just like,
yep.
It was good until they died.
That was their story.
Yeah, so just know there is death at the end of the movie. If you are a person who doesn't like it when people die, so I know personally, my mom is not one who will want to watch this film because everyone dies in the end.
It can still be an adventure because now you're wondering, how do they die? Oh, is that how they... No, that's not
how they died. I didn't expect. I personally didn't expect how they died.
I really
thought it was going to be in another way.
I want to ask questions, but I think I'd rather not. I'm just going to watch the film.
Watch the film.
The second half.
Yes.
And that's that for that.
And that is that for that.
Yes.
Yes. So that is The Book Thief, made in 2013. And this is our review on it.
Yep.
Reactive.
Being reactive is being a people of reaction, people of change, being a movement of young people. It's not just a band. It's not just good music or inspiring words. It's not just catchy. It's life-changing.
You can check us out on Spotify, iTunes, Deezer, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
Want to let us know of a movie that you'd like to review, us to review, then please go to all of our social media pages. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Parler, Gab, Reddit, and you can let us know. Comment, send us a message. You can send us a message on WhatsApp. Our number is on Instagram, so you can find it there. And then if you want to listen to the shows, any of the other Active FM shows, you can go to www.activefm.co.za or...
If you are subscribed to Spotify, you can check us there as well, but you guys already know that. For those who don't know, welcome. You can go to Spotify, search for Active FM. We are there too. You can also go, if you have Apple Podcast, we are there as well as the Android version, which is called Google Podcast. We are even there. And then, of course, everyone is a YouTube subscriber if you have a Google account. Go. Yep, that's right. Sign in with it. If you don't believe me, check it out. You've got a YouTube account. If you have a Google account, if you don't, you can go create one. It's free. Go to YouTube, look for Active FM, the channel, and then also look for Active TV.
Definitely.
You can subscribe to both of those because we have a lot of content that is continuously always coming out every day, and you want to get notifications. So subscribe, hit the bell button because you will enjoy the stuff that we release. And you don't know what we're going to release, so you might as well subscribe to find out.
Definitely.
Yes, so go now.
Yep.
Go. Now,
so this has been The Movie Show
with myself Ryan
and myself Sesh.
Until next week,
peace out.
Cheers.
Active FM radio has never been better.